Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
The U.S. budget's not doing fine.
Not too well.
But don't worry, we owe it to ourselves, so everything is okay.
Yeah.
As long as you owe it to ourselves. And the other neat thing about a deficit that, you know, with this modern monetary theory, is you never have to pay it back.
Yeah.
So you owe it to yourself, and you don't have to pay it back, and everybody is happy. But somebody must pay. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And the payment just comes out differently. It's the old-fashioned thing that you pay for it in cash and you tax people and that sort of thing. That's been long forgotten. It wasn't very popular with the people if they had to pay for a war or pay for the welfare. So they have this little gimmick. And they talk about this modern monetary theory, but I don't see anything modern about it. I think it's been around for a long time. And it really fits into the scheme of things. Politicians like it. If they're warmongers, we just run up the tab. And if the people just want more welfare, we just run up the deficit and we take it and print it. You know, traditionally, the Federal Reserve Board Chairman always criticizes, you know, the Congress. It's your job now. We did our share. We have everything in order. And it's up to you. And I think what they're talking about is when they create money, because of human action and a few other shortcomings on people, the money doesn't do what they want it to do. It doesn't get spread about. The right people don't get it. And then the wrong people, who probably are very close to the handouts, they end up getting it. So it's something that they just think that they can do, and I think they are really telling the Congress, you're the people responsible for the distribution, and you like this job. This is how you stay in office. But then again, I guess subtly they think maybe there's limitations, and we'll do this, so we have to fight over it and pretend that we're going to pay our bills. So this has been going on for a long time, as long as I can remember, just at different levels. But it is getting pretty bad. But the process is, you know, how does it work if somebody has to pay? And I think that of course it's printed money, and they pretend, and they say, well, we'll owe it to them. How do you pay for it? You print more money. So that's the limitation on it. And most people like it as long as it's lasting. And I think because of the understanding of what Mises talked about so much, it's the individual human action of people. You can't predict it, and that's his argument against, don't ever depend on Keynesian economics. So whether it's stimulation for war or stimulation for stopping the pandemic and you expect it to work, guess what? You can be pretty sure it's not going to work. And I think that's what they've run into, but still it's desperate. And Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
And there's Christmas pressure on it. And people, it looks like they're going to get home for Christmas and tell the people how much good things they have done. So we'll see what happens, because I think the markets react the way markets want to react. And this is an indication that there's going to be a lot of money flowing out there, and everybody's going to be happy. You know, there's a lot of money flowing out there, but maybe the money is going to have trouble getting out of Wall Street.
Yeah.
It might just sort of have people buying bonds and buying stocks and going into big corporations. So that tends to be what happened. And the question is, well, has the scheme been designed so these people are going to benefit, or are they just totally ignorant and really, really want to help the average person? It just happens that their theories weren't right. Well, probably a little bit of that, but I think there's the power of the special interests that they're the ones that are really in control, and that, of course, is operated by the key figures of the deep state.
Yeah, you know, Representative Thomas Massie pointed out that it's no coincidence that they pulled out a bill like this at Christmas time, because they know that's the one time of year when members want to get home, and they'll agree to just about everything. Well, by the rules of Congress, the rules of the House, they should have had 72 hours to read this bill.
Right.
They just waived the rules. No big deal. Who cares? And what they did is they combined about $1 trillion, a little under $1 trillion COVID relief bill with a $1.4 trillion omnibus, 5,593-page bill. They had less than 8 hours to read it. Senator Paul pointed out that considering there's an average of 250 words a page, that's about 1.3 million words. Average person reads about 300 words per minute. That means it would have taken 77.68 hours to read this bill. In other words, nobody read this bill at all. They just posted it. They just voted for it. And unfortunately, they voted for it 92-6 in the Senate, 359-53 in the House, overwhelming, as Massey also said. This should have been 24 separate bills. You know, why doesn't Congress do appropriations anymore? You know, they stopped doing it, I think, around toward the tail end of your time there. They just throw it all together at the end of the year and say, let's just fund the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Let's don't go through each particular piece of appropriation and fight over like they used to.
But they work hard at the headline, and the headline to get the average person to endorse this, because everybody except the very, very well-to-do big corporation are, you know, in trouble. You know, whether you're a renter or whether you rent houses or whatever, or you've lost your job, everybody needs some cash. And they work on the fallacy that, you know, if you get money, if you print money and hand it out, that's a sign of wealth, which is absolutely false. It has nothing, just printing money and passing out has nothing to do. It has a lot more interference with the creation of wealth because it destroys the marketplace and the whole principle of interest earned. But no, they promised $600, you know, dollars. The Democrats wanted $1,200, but good Republicans, they like to get along. So they said, we'll just do $600 a month. And they had to, I guess, because of poor planning, the unemployment benefits exhausted a few weeks ago. I don't know exactly when that happened, but they haven't had it, so they had to renew that. So that was renewed at $300 a week. And that was extended for 11 weeks. At least they're admitting that this is not forever, but in 11 weeks, they'll figure out something else. But, you know, if you look at it, and I know you've looked a little bit at the big budget, there's some things in there, Daniel, that actually aren't even going to people in this country.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the empire that's out there. And if you throw the military-industrial complex in with that, there's a lot, other than the individuals who are directly employed or own stocks in those companies, you know, the very, very vast majority have no benefits from this other than they're stealing real wealth from people. It's leaving, you know, the marketplace here, and we send it around the world and have our presence there. And just think of this effort, which seems like the president was making some progress, just bringing some troops home.
Yeah.
And they can't even do that. So, yeah, it's a serious problem, but they're really operating. They spend a lot of time there and a lot of demagoguing, but they're really operating like it's not an emergency. You know, if they thought it was half as bad or even a third as bad, they'd be doing something else if it was just a partial concern. But I think the concern is only political and serving the powerful corporate interests.
You know, the average American may be delighted that he's getting $600, he or she's getting $600. But you alluded to this a second ago. When you look at what's being given to Americans and what's being given overseas, it's astonishing to think about. And here are just a couple. And you can go through the bill and virtually find hundreds of these things. Not less than $241,400,000 shall be made available for assistance to Tunisia. It's a tiny little country, Tunisia. $325 million to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. $10 million for higher education in Malawi. $135 million to fight the drug war in Burma. $300 million to counter Chinese influence fund. And the countering Russian influence fund only gets $290 million, $10 million less. I guess the Russians are not as much of a threat. $70 million to promote global internet freedom. And that includes capacity building training for democracy activists, i.e. regime change overseas. It's the same old thing, but it's the mentality that you talk about that's a problem. And we actually, there was a video floor speech from Senator Paul that went viral yesterday, and we wanted to just capture a little under a minute of that speech because he really captures the philosophical problem with what Congress does. So if we can cue up that video.
Free money for everyone, they cry. And yet, if free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it?
He makes a good point. If you can print money with impunity, why are we only getting $600? I wouldn't mind $30,000 for myself and each of my kids.
You know,
that'd be nice.
We used to participate in that little cliche there, why not more? And when the minimum wage, which the principle was wrong to begin with, but the minimum wage was $2, $3, $4, $5, $6. There'd be a few of us say, look, it can't work. Why don't you just make it 15? So it's 15 now and rising, which just means that the value of the dollar is going down. People aren't better off by having $15. It is true. There are less jobs now when the minimum wages and other things happen. But, the payment, whether it's to the commitment we have overseas or to the people, at least on paper, that borrow money and own these bonds, how does it happen? Well, eventually with runaway inflation, the debt is wiped out because the dollar isn't worth anything. They get dollars that won't pay at all. But what if you got some sensible people and they say, well, let's just quit paying these things, and argue the case with these contracts with Tunisia and everybody else. We don't owe it to them. We don't have a moral obligation to do this, and we're going to just renege on this and not do it. What really would happen? Well, if that happened and then you had still the option of keeping those unemployment checks going, it might not be nearly as bad as some people think. But the one thing is even if you try that transition, I've talked about this a lot, it's not going to be tolerated. Because like today, we looking back at what they did yesterday, they say, well, yeah, this is a little bit too much. Stimulus is $900 billion, is almost $1 trillion. Why don't we cut it 10%?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a civil war.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the signal. And but the big problem is how are the sides going to wind up? And I don't know. Rand says that the Democrats. Or the Republicans are as bad as the Democrats.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm shocked about that. So, but the civil strife is already here. The street fighting is going on. There's violence in the city, and money is being spent like it's going out of style. But there's still some things going up in price. Wall Street. Last I looked, even this morning, they were doing quite well, but it. It can't last, or they've defied all the laws of nature and all the laws of economics if they're able to create wealth like this by just printing it and passing it out and trying to satisfy the people. We have too many examples throughout history when this has been tried, and usually it fails. When these big failures occur, it is identification of when an empire ends. And it's usually related, to a currency going bad. And I think we're very close to this. I think days like this, people who are really concerned about it, that would reinforce their concerns.
Yeah, and you got to wonder why people don't get up in arms. They're living under the delusion. I guess the mainstream media is so powerful. The mainstream media tells them that they do owe it to themselves and that everything is okay. This is something interesting about the bill, $600 checks to all 328 million Americans, that'd be almost $200 billion. But this is a $900 billion bill. Where's the rest of the money going? And that's the real question. And it's going for well-connected, the wealthy. I know the omnibus has another $40 million for the Kennedy Center. That is not a place, generally speaking, where the working class goes from out in the hinterland. You know, this is the Washington elites. $200 million so that federal HIV/AIDS workers overseas can buy cars and car insurance. That's pretty nice. These are jobs programs for the well-connected. This $300 and some million to Tunisia, they're not going over to Tunisia handing out money to people that don't have a meal. These are for USAID workers and favored companies and, well-connected people. It's a huge scam, and you just wonder how long it can continue before people get upset about it.
You know, and the government's pretty good at one thing, and that is surveillance of the American people. They can keep tabs of all Americans if they so choose. They can keep tabs on our GPSs and our cars and our telephone. They know what's going on. The IRS is pretty efficient in hounding people. And their secrets in that sense are pretty well handled. But when it comes to us trying to find out where this is going, like, how does the Federal Reserve work? Who really benefits? Yeah. Where does Pentagon? You mean the Pentagon's not fully audited? No, it's hardly audited at all. And they do this, and they think that there's no big problem with it because some things will remain secret. And how they spend the money, I don't think the people want to even hear it. You know, it's sort of like you can't handle it. Or they'll make me too upset and too angry. I think this to me is why truth about what the government does and how economics work and what civil liberties do and how important they are, so that when the crunch really, really comes, they know where the fallacy is. And right now the fallacy is, out on the street, the demonstrators out on the street says it all has to do with race. It's a racial hatred, and that's what has done it, and that's the solution, so this is what we have to do. And our universities are working on it very diligently to make sure that everybody understands, what is really happening. But I'm afraid they're not looking in the right place, and I don't think they really want to look in the right place for what's going on.
The other thing that's disheartening is the continuation of failed policies. It really is as if we're back in 2014 again, where Obama's people had the brilliant idea, hey, let's overthrow the elected government in Ukraine. What could go wrong? We're going to get our puppets in there. Everything's going to be fantastic. Well, it's not fantastic in Ukraine. It was an absolutely failed foreign policy. It was a disaster. Thousands died. The country is in much worse shape. Brought us closer to unnecessary war with Russia. But if you look at the omnibus part of this packed together bill, it has another $500 million for the corrupt Ukrainian government. That's in addition to $400 million that Trump released to Ukraine not long ago. Very tough talk on Russia. They've got to get out of Crimea. That's not going to happen. They've got to get out. They got to stop backing separatists in Ukraine. Well, in eastern Ukraine, they happen to be Russian, and they don't want to be part of Kiev. What business is it of ours? But it's just amazing when we see the astonishing failure. There's plenty of tough talk about Syria in there as well. No money can go anywhere near Assad. It's got to go to the rebels and this sort of thing. Bad policies in Washington just keep continuing year after year, and nobody stops and says, why are we doing this? Is it doing anything to help this country?
No, hardly. The big part of this, nearly trillion, that's new stuff, and it's to stimulate the economy. And of course, we're not expecting a whole lot from that. The people who are going to be at loss are people now thinking the government can handle it. You know, the one thing they did, they had a moratorium on rent, you know, that they could suspend their rent, and also then you couldn't close down, you know, throw somebody out of their house. And that's been suspended. So, but that'll come back. Those are the kind of gimmicks that they use to try to cover their tracks on what they're doing. But the stimulus is partly going to work because the wrong things get stimulated and they're not realizing what's happening. But you know, there's some things going on that because we're talking about stimulation, that's talking about you know, COVID, and that's what the real problem is behind the scenes. A lot of this spending puts, you know, that's why you can't say boo.
Yeah,
people they can challenge some of these things, but no, this is you know, sent to us by God, and there it is, and we have to deal with it, and we're in this together. So everybody has to say the solution, you know, is printing more money. But you know, we have in the last several weeks, months or so, when we've continuously point out some breakthroughs where some governors wake up, or a mayor wakes up, and a citizen will wake up, and we've seen some progress. And I keep thinking, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's going to gain momentum. And I think we were on the verge of it, so we had to be prepared for another virus.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's already been established. It's so amazing that, you know, the first day I heard about it, they knew so much about it, and it tested certain ways, and that, of course, you know, in Great Britain and European countries, they're talking about the new virus that they have to deal with, but they have to scare people with it too, and I think people are getting scared. They're concentrating on being fearful of the new virus because I think the other one is getting stale, you know, and the American people are waking up. We don't believe this stuff. We're going in. We're going to do something. We're going to challenge, you know, this whole system. So, but they have to build the hysteria, and I think they're, you know, they're making inroads on that. But the hysterical reaction prompted a reaction from us because, you know, at the beginning of last year, it was keep the Chinese out and this will solve our problem and stop the flow of people, which is a legitimate concern. But there's this whole idea that what they have to do right now is watch out, don't let people coming in. If there's a new virus, stop the airplanes, you know, which, you know, can be debated. But it's amazing how much they know so soon. But here's an article today. It says, U.S. may require British passengers, this is the part that gets me, to prove they don't have COVID before boarding flights. Well, maybe it'll be the next virus or whatever, to prove it. Well, that to me falls in the category of proving a negative, and which is virtually impossible. Is that going to mean that you have a negative test? I'll bet you they could produce a lot of, I bet you they could reduce the positive test by 50% overnight if they just did the right way.
And
then run them through 45 cycles instead of a maximum of 30 cycles. So this is... this is what to do, but I was thinking, well, what does this mean if you followed this principle that you had to prove you didn't have something? And I got to thinking, well, what if somebody had a genetic predisposition to schizophrenia?
Mm.
That's a serious disease, and people act out of line, and if they get on the airplane, they might cause a problem. So we have to test them for it. To be perfectly safe, we have to do this. And bipolar, people believe this is a genetic problem too. Test them for that.
Yeah.
You know, you could go on and on doing the testing. This doesn't mean you shouldn't have concern if you know about it, but doing this already and talking about this and this virus is spreading, and I keep thinking the people who are wanting to put more controls on airlines, it might be by the governor of New York or the mayor of New York City, because they have control of so much of the airplane. We'll stop them. We've closed all the restaurants down except for us, so they'll do it. But anyway, I just think this probably is not going to be the big item on anybody's news item, but it always catches my attention when they say prove it, prove a negative.
Yeah.
And technically speaking, you don't really prove a negative because there's always an assumption that could be true.
This is going to be a difficult situation for the people who want to keep the fear ratcheted up and the people who want to keep pushing the idea that we have to have a vaccine. Because on the one hand, they're acting as if a virus has never mutated before in history, right?
Right.
This is something completely new under the sun. Well, that's one of the reasons why they have such a time with the flu shot every year, because it may be a different strain. It's changed somehow. So on the one hand, if there is a new mutated virus, that might be a problem for the vaccine's effectivity if it's changed. So there's a conflict there. And unfortunately, I think people in the U.S. have lost their minds. I don't think they're thinking logically. And that these two things cannot simultaneously exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll close out if we're ready, Dr. Paul.
Yeah, I think so.
Lawson, and I would just thank our viewers. We appreciate you. We just found out this morning that we had one of our programs taken down from YouTube, we believe unfairly. We're a news and analysis program. We don't advocate anything other than liberty. But that also means...
That's a problem. Yeah, That's the problem.
But that means that we may face some problems if they do decide that they want to censor independent views. So we have appealed it. We believe it was unfair. But that may mean that we have to focus our efforts more strongly in looking to alternatives. We already post a show with several other areas, BitChute and elsewhere. But that may be something that we have to deal with. And we do appreciate you, and we hope... If we do have to move, if they do decide to shut down Ron Paul's Voice of Liberty, that you'll come with us wherever we do end up. Dr. Paul?
Very good. I'm going to just close with a mention about the monetary system and this whole principle that if we just send checks out, things will be okay. And a lot of people are anticipating, and a lot of people are very dependent on it. And it's just an extension of the policies that we have been following probably almost 100 years, especially got started when the Federal Reserve came in. And the fallacy there is that people believe that money is equivalent to wealth. Well, we know that if you just print money and pass it out, that can hardly represent wealth, and fiat money usually in. But even if you had, so-called the legitimate money, the Federal Reserve notes, passing them out and creating them obviously does not, create wealth. Wealth has to come, though. The market works by people working, producing, living off what they produce, and then saving it, and then investing it, or giving it to somebody else to invest, and that should be guided by contracts and property rights and interest rates. And then you have a generation, you have an increase of wealth and prosperity. That hasn't happened that way in a long time. Every once in a while you might have an accident happen in this economy where people actually, borrowed, they paid an interest, and they ended up with a good business. But overall, this money, there's not going to be very, very many businesses coming out of this because we're pumping out a lot of money. Matter of fact, I don't even think they're pretending to do this. They claim they're propping up certain companies, but it isn't true. So I think that the principles of liberty and the proper role for government is very, very important. But I think also that we have to understand that the role of government is not there to take care of us from cradle to grave and police the world and take care of an empire. The government there is there to do their little bit of a job, is to make sure we have our liberties and not and people interfering with it. And that is where you get the production, and that is where you get the wealth, and that is where you get more peace and more prosperity. And of course, this program is designed with the belief that if you do the right thing and have a proper understanding of liberty, that we will have a much greater chance to achieve peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.